What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252, and we're talking about the current economic situation, and everyone's talking about food shortages. We've had all these food processing plants, you know, suffer strange fires, fertilizer shortages, flooded farmlands, dried farmlands, and a lot of people are saying there's just too much happening too quickly for it to just be nature. And so everybody's saying, what are we going to eat? And there was an article over at Global Research talking about how the World Economic Forum globalists are pushing, you know, the eating of bugs, you know, and even cannibalism to get through the food shortage. Now, unfortunately, as the history of Rapa Nui shows, cannibalism is sort of at the tail end of a massive food shortage. The problem I have with eating bugs is that insects form a necessary part of the cycle of life here on Earth. I mean, we all know about how the honeybees pollinate our plants, and the reduction of honeybees in recent years has caused a problem. But other insects have other functions, helping to aerate the soil, various other things as well. And so it seems like a very short-sighted kind of idea. Okay, now down in Virginia, Governor Glenn Youngkin basically chastised the Anne McLean to the point where she resigned. She was on the Historic Resources Board, and she made some comments basically to the effect that the Confederacy wasn't all bad. Now, most people are raised to think that the whole Civil War issue was entirely about slavery, and no, it wasn't. Yes, Lincoln was pushing for the 13th Amendment. He thought slavery was wrong, but the Civil War actually started when the Southern states basically said that the central federal government in Washington, D.C. was getting too powerful and interfering in their rights. Okay, which under the original Constitution, the central federal government was supposed to be limited, and that's why the Confederacy seceded. And they basically said, we're going to be our own country now, we're going to run our own business, and thank you very much. And Lincoln, knowing that at that time a vast majority of revenue came from the South because of the cotton industry and so forth, wanted to keep the Union intact, and use the issue of slavery to motivate Northerners to enlist in the Union Army, leading to that bloody, horrible war. And Anne McLean was out there saying, you know, the issue of the Civil War is far more complex than is taught in the schools. And apparently Glenn Youngkin said, no, it isn't. It's all about slavery and reparations. And she resigned here. Okay, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, hello, Mike. I'd like to mention something concerning... I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, super. 1933, after Hitler became chancellor, there was a huge amount of unemployment. Young men and middle-aged men with nothing to do, and there's alcoholism and all sorts of, you know, issues, social issues.
Yes.
Due to the Depression, which actually hit Germany a lot harder than it hit the United States. And so what they did, what Hitler's program was, is to put them to work. He had them go, if you didn't have a job and you needed help or whatever, I don't know how they rounded them up, but they were put into work camps. And they built things like the Autobahn and the Nürburgring, which went around a castle, which became a famous race course. And they did these things by manual labor, and they were paid a stipend, and they were given housing. And it kind of brought the, you know, these kind of works. It was also like works for water and farming and what have you. And that's how they handled it. And I think it was probably handled quite well, considering how quick Germany turned around.
Yes.
And so when they had issues there in Poland with partisans and stuff, and they had huge Jewish population, I believe I read at one time Poland's Jewish population was like 1/4 of the total, which is a huge amount.
Yes, it was.
So the percent, you know, it, good or bad, they were put in the camps, and that's why they had the signs that at Auschwitz, work will set you free.
Well, you know, I hate to challenge you on the history. Basically, what Hitler did that revived the German economy is he shut down the private central bank that had been imposed on Germany in the Treaty of Versailles, and he issued a new currency that was based on a unit of labor. And because there was no interest accruing on the public currency, Germany's economy just turned right around. It was called the German Miracle. Time magazine put Hitler as their man of the year in 1938 for this amazing transformation. And by the way, the Nürburgring was actually built in the 1920s and then enlarged in the 1980s. So it was really that change of currency base really was the accomplishment of the Nazi Party, getting rid of the private central bank. And that, of course, is the reason why the other nations still enslaved to private central banks orchestrated a war to basically smash Germany for a second time. And, you know, because they couldn't compete. You know, nations that are enslaved to private central banks cannot compete with nations that don't have private central banks because of that huge amount of wealth that's being sucked out of the economy by the bankers.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And there might be a little bit of overlap there between the labor that I spoke about and the currency. But that's why they took down Libya, and they're trying to take down Russia. Anyone who's independent of the central bankers. And did you hear that Brittany Griner got 9 years?
Yeah, I heard that. And, you know, Ted Cruz came on out and said, oh, that's terrible. And Biden saying, that's terrible. That's unacceptable. I'm sorry. She broke the laws of Russia. You know, she had drugs. There are laws regarding drugs in Russia. She broke them. And, you know, I can't imagine that she went to Russia without doing some basic research on what the local laws and customs are. I mean, you know, when I was working in Europe, you know, I got the little handbooks out there. The State Department issues them for free. You know, when you go to this country, this is what's against the law, and this is what you can do. And, you know, I mean, get the voters' guides for heck's sake. And, you know, even though that's a CIA front company, it's still a really good guidebook. And, I'm not buying this idea that she just assumed that the Russians were going to be as easy on marijuana as some of the states in the United States are. Okay, but I'm sorry, she broke the law, and, you know, she's under the Russians' jurisdiction. Now, what they're going to try and do is a prisoner swap for a couple of Russians who are in American prisons I think one is for espionage, and the other one I think is linked with terrorism. I forget the exact specifics, but they're working on a prisoner swap.
Yeah, Victor Bout is one of them, the infamous arms trader. I think this big sentence is actually a sign that they are going to do a prisoner swap. But they want to send a message first. That's my take on it.
Could very well be. Could very well be.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to go to Joe in Tennessee. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, Mike. You know, there are two statements that I think the last couple months have put to rest. And one is that America is a force in the world of stability. I mean... That's but it's something that people always talk about, and it is laughable. I'm glad you laughed, because that shows, you know, how laughable it is.
Yes.
The other is that, you know, if you have women in power, there'll be peace, you know, because, you know, you got Pelosi over there, and she's stirring up the Chinese and just started a basic war with Taiwan and China. And then you had that Liz Truss. Remember her? She was the one,
yes,
the Secretary of State, I guess, for Britain, or whatever they call them over there. And she could have made a deal with Russia while they were warning people, you know, look, just don't join NATO, you know, respect the Minsk agreement, and we wouldn't have this war in Russia. We wouldn't have the fuel prices. We wouldn't have as much of the inflation. Because it is true that a lot of the inflation and the fuel is because of Russia, but it's not because of Putin. It's because of our reaction to Russia.
Yes.
You know? Putin would have kept selling us fuel. Putin, nothing would have changed except for what the actions of the idiot in chief, Biden, and his people, and also the Europeans. So this is a self-inflicted wound, which we all know. Now I'm reading today about, you know, this is really upsetting in the amount of support that Pelosi and our and with the Russia and the Ukraine and the China, how it's really is such a bipartisan fiasco. I mean Biden I can't stand and all that, but you know, the Republicans are cheering us on, and Lindsey Graham, and you know, they're all going over there. They just can't get spend enough of our tax money into Ukraine, and now they're passing a lend lease for Taiwan. And Menendez is working on a bill with Lindsey Graham about recognizing Taiwan independence. Are they out of their minds? And you know, but there's no voice. We have no voice of people that are rational and want stability. We have no voice in Washington at all. It's incredible. It's like they're all just taken over by some demonic force that just wants war and instability and chaos. I mean, I know George Soros read them all the Riot Act about 6 months ago about, you know, now China's our enemy now, boys, right? And
yeah.
They go, okay, sir, yep, let's go, let's start a war with them, you know? But I'll tell you what, the Asian people, I spent a lot of time in Asia, you know?
Yes.
The Asian people really, one of our big selling points was our stabilizing effect. And the prosperity we brought economically to these countries. And that's gone out the window. So you're probably there's probably a lot of people over in Japan and in Korea that are just thinking how insane America's become, and it's really going to drive them into the corner of the Chinese, as well as a lot of the people in Taiwan who aren't for all this gay stuff that we're shoving down their throat, and a lot of them do support reunification with China. So my prediction is that there's not going to be an open invasion of Taiwan. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Taiwan, and sooner or later there will be a unification, but it'll be done by voting. They'll vote themselves into,
that would be,
you know,
that would be the best possible outcome.
Because, you know, China was talking about Taiwan reunification. They had their goal was 2049. That's like,
yeah,
what, 27 years from now?
Yeah.
You know, and then Pelosi goes and just kicks the hornet's nest, you know, but you can't tell me she wasn't being, you know, they couldn't have stopped her if they didn't, you know, but anyway, it's just such a disaster. But, you know, with this Lend-Lease Act, if I were the Chinese and the Russians, and I've been thinking the Russians should be doing this for a long time, is they need to pass a Lend-Lease in the Duma to Lend-Lease to Iran, and Lend-Lease to Syria, and Lend-Lease to Lebanon and Hezbollah, and Lend-Lease to Venezuela, and Lend-Lease to North Korea, and Lend-Lease to all of Israel's enemies, because, of course, Israel's the only people that our country cares about when it comes to defending. They don't really care about this country itself, you know?
Yes.
So you got to like, make Europe, you know, the Russians and the Chinese, and the Chinese should do the same thing. They got to come to the conclusion that our State Department is more focused on Zionist interests than America's interests. So you got to make your problem the Zionist interest problem, you know? How do you,
yes,
do that? Well, you start funding the Zionist enemies over there and in America, wherever. So I just don't understand. Maybe they're doing it, like, you know, on the QT, but boy, that put an end to this Lend-Lease talk real fast. If Lindsey Graham starts hearing that all these missiles are moving into Syria and Iran, he's going to, you know, I don't know, he'll probably run to his boyfriend, I guess. Oh,
okay.
By the way, this fentanyl stuff, there's a guy dead in the parking lot at Walmart today here in eastern Tennessee, and I was driving home, I was listening to the radio, you know, and it was just a rock station. But they were talking about five dead in Knox County last night. from fentanyl overdose.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. I mean, this is really something. I mean, they had the coroner truck at the Walmart and cops, and they had it lined off. And it's really
here in Indiana, we're dealing with the loss of a member of the House of Representatives. Was just driving down the road with two staffers, and a car in the oncoming lane just came across the divider and hit them head on. Everybody got killed, including the driver of the car that came across the center lane. And the first thing I thought of when I heard about the details of the accident was if the driver of the car that came across the center lane had a COVID vaccine or was doing fentanyl.
Yeah, what do they call them? Covaccidents or something? Vaccines?
Yeah, they've got a name for it, covaccidents.
I wouldn't doubt that at all, but you never know. I mean, you know what really bothers me about this whole thing? If it was a COVID reaction, you'll never hear about that. Now, if she was drunk, you'll hear about it.
Yes.
Or you have to think it was a woman. Or if she had like a seizure or a heart attack, you'll never hear because they're hiding all the vax injuries. And it's just really frustrating because I like looking at information, because statistics and information and numbers is how you can cut through a lot of the baloney, you know? It's like when this thing started with COVID, the first thing that really alarmed me about it was I used to live in Thailand, so I read the Thailand news. And they had, like, every day they would show how many people had died of COVID. And it wasn't until after they started implementing the forced vax over there that the death rate just started climbing and climbing and climbing.
Yes.
And that was telling me something. And then all of a sudden, they just stopped putting those numbers out, you know, because it was, you know, everybody was getting vaxxed and they were all dying from that. So when things like this happen, it is a great question. But what bothers me is they know. It's like they're going to try to figure a way to hide a lot of this stuff. They already are.
Yes.
You know? Like the one thing they say they can't really hide are births and deaths. So we're already seeing, like, the birth rate going down and the death rate going up as far as all-cause deaths. And that's kind of hard to ignore. I'm waiting for a way that they can hide that or say, we're not going to publish it anymore, you know? it is amazing what
really
they got
out of
away
control,
with.
They'll just claim that some enemy has declared biological war on the American nation and, you know, let's go nuke them for what they've done to us.
Yeah, they definitely they get away with it because, you know, the media is in their pocket. It's really shameful.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when are the people going to wake up? I'm still saying the people that have to
wake up. It's a slow, slow process to wake up a population, of several hundred million. But it is happening. I mean, polls are showing the majority of Americans now think the 2020 election was stolen. And people are waking up. That's why you've got the United Nations coming on out there saying, we've got to have a war on these gosh darn conspiracy theories because they keep turning out to be true all the time.
Yeah, but they're coming out with another monkeypox lockdown.
Yep.
It's just, when I mean people waking up, I mean people, like, getting out in the street over this. I just can't believe that they would get vaccinated, you know, and just allow themselves to quietly die. There's just
Well, at the time they got the vaccines, they were being reassured by everybody, this is safe, this is effective. You know, my doctor was saying exactly the same thing. Can't say anything now because health departments are pulling the licenses of medical practitioners who question the COVID orthodoxy.
Well, you got the Johnson & Johnson, right?
Yeah, we did.
All right. Well, that's not the bad one. I mean, they're all bad, but it's not as bad as well.
I mean, they've already pulled it from the market. So, I mean, there are issues there.
Yeah. Well, I always said if somebody put a gun to my head and that made me take one, that's the one I would take. But it's not.
Well,
that
was our thinking
anyway.
At the time we got the shot. There were no reports of adverse effects, but now there are. All right. Well, thank you for the call, Joe. We got to take a break for commercials. We have open lines, 512-248-8222. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show here. And we have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. And we're going to go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
You know, stability... means different things to different classes of people.
True.
It's relative. It's like a lot of things. And, you know, Einstein has, I don't even think that anyone has even thought about this, but just the idea of how relative things are to just relativity. He opened people's minds to that sort of thing. So to think that this Brittany woman crossed over into, you know, Russia with a THC vapor or something. Wasn't it like a, you know how strong that stuff is? Jesus. Anyway,
yeah, it's, yeah.
I think it's pure BS. And here's another thing. If she were to do time in Russia, it would cost Russia money. Why not fine her $1 million? I think this is all theater.
Well, she is being fined in addition to the jail time. I don't know how she's going to pay for it.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
People love this stuff. You know why, Mike? Because it has the LGBTQ community all enthralled. What's going to happen? Right? Justice for Brittany. Justice for Brittany. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I think this is
all
theater.
She got her justice. She got her justice.
Well, in our mind, Mike, I used to go across to the border to the United States a lot. When I say a lot, I mean every week.
Yes.
For a long time. I've been across the border over 100 times, to work.
Yes.
And only an idiot, and I'm sorry if there are idiots listening and you're offended, but only an idiot would take over something knowing that you could end up in jail for that.
Yeah.
Which means there's no way that she did this. I mean, this is theater. It's got to be theater. Nobody's that stupid. Especially someone as rich as she is. And by the way, she is a real woman.
Yeah.
You know, apparently. It's just
yes.
She's gay. So, you know. And just looking at her and judging by how tall I think she is she 6'6"?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Basketball
player. It would take a really big, I would always be, I'm only like 6 foot. So, it would take a big man for that woman.
Yes.
But that's only my opinion because, I would, women like that, Mike, scare me because I know that she can take me. I know it. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, at my age, I can get whooped by pretty much everybody, so.
Remember being a little kid, Mike, in like grade 1 or 2 and 3?
Yeah.
And there was always that, that girl that could beat you up, and she would.
Yeah.
I
had a cousin like
in.
That. I had a cousin.
Yeah, my
sisters
were like
Tom
that.
Tomboy used to beat the crap out of me.
Yeah, so anyway, I mean, this is all fine and dandy, but it's getting a lot of airplay because of the LGBTQ connotation with it, right?
Well, I think it's getting a lot of airplay because it's another way to say bad Russians, why can't they be understanding about drugs the way we here in the enlightened United States, with all the fentanyl mm-hmm. deaths and the street crime are. And I mean, when you travel internationally, you have a responsibility to ahead of time study where you're going and what their laws are. And there are some countries that are very, very strict. Even about things like littering. I mean, if you go to Germany and you just throw a piece of trash on the street, man, are you in trouble. And that's why cities are so clean as opposed to ours.
Well, where I live is a pigsty when you look along the roads. So
yeah.
It only makes sense, right? They don't want
yep.
the plague. Here's something, Mike. In Seattle, 3rd Street. The other day, I went from one end of it to the other.
Yeah.
Right, in Google Maps, and holy moly.
Yeah.
The homelessness is, and that's one street, is just astounding.
Yes.
And if you look at what the average price of a house is, because, this stuff was just put out recently, right?
Yeah.
There's your answer. And if I'm not mistaken, this is already happening in the United States, where real estate is getting bought up by investment, quote-unquote, investment firms, driving up the price, right?
They want to
this
turn them all into rental
properties.
This has been going
on in Canada for a long time.
All right, well, listen, Al, I got to put you on hold. Don't hang up.
Sure.
We got to take a break for commercials, and I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Inflation reduction spending? I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The inflation reduction spending package currently being suggested by Congress may be the most idiotic thing I've ever seen Congress try. And that's saying a lot. Inflation is when money becomes worth less. Money becomes worth less when there is too much money in the market. A spending bill, any spending bill, that puts more money in the market will only make inflation worse. Couple that with raising taxes and you get complete economic collapse. The proposed 15% minimum corporate tax will be passed along to you and me, the consumers. It is an obvious fact that only consumers pay taxes. So, government spending makes inflation worse, and higher taxes take even more of what's left. It honestly looks like our government wants us to just be too poor to survive. Until tomorrow, Civis Pacem, Parabellum.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon. Socialist banker to the one world goons. Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Al in Canada. And Al, would you just pick up where you left off?
Yeah, I was talking about the investment firms, you know, quote unquote, buying up real estate. I mean, this has been going on in Canada, in the United States for a few years now, and everybody knows it, but it's coming up here now, and it has been for a long time. That's why, you know, things are so out of control up here. And on top of that, you know, this COVID thing happened when they should have shut, you know, the gates of immigration, and actually
yes.
The gates for immigration should be shut now for the next couple of years because our infrastructure is stressed. But the thing is, it's so expensive now to live.
Yes.
And homelessness is like getting out of control in Canada. You know, because not every state and not every, you know, county has this problem. But it is a problem. And it's a problem that has to be addressed because I think a lot of it, and I'm not absolutely sure, but I know, like, in the city I live, there used to be a mental institution, right?
Okay.
For people. and that was closed down. So now you have a bunch of homeless people living on the streets that could be mentally unbalanced.
Yes.
And they don't have meds, right? Even though, quote-unquote, we have this universal health care. Some people call it free, and those people are usually liberals, because nothing is free.
No.
But it's a big problem. It's a very big problem. It's getting out of control. People are starting, like, it's starting. People see, you know, the boulevards, like the bullards between busy streets, right?
One's
going one direction, the other one's going the other, especially in around intersections. So you have this space in between the different lanes of traffic, right?
Yes.
People are walking up and down those begging for money now all the time.
I know.
It's very dangerous.
It is very dangerous. We saw that on Oahu, and you know what we would do is they would gather at the left turn lanes, knowing that you had to stop. And what Claire and I would do is we'd go to local restaurants and we'd get gift cards for food, and we'd hand those out so that we knew we weren't fueling somebody's drug habit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my next comment, because I've given to people like that a lot, and what I'll do. I'll see them on my way, like, you know, I got to pass by a liquor store if I want to go get groceries at a certain place. And on my way back, you know, I'll have them one of those sandwich things that they make. And it's good, Russ. You know, it's a good store. But in the end, it's a problem. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when, and this is what really burns me up, is... You know, like, our prime minister is on holidays now.
Yes.
Out of country.
Yeah.
Out of country. Right? When our country is crying for revenue, right? Taxes, right?
Yes.
And he's also using, you know, the government jet, which... Canadian taxpayers are on the hook for.
Yes.
And all of that carbon, and yet we're the ones, like, EVs aren't even on the menu anymore up here in Canada. Now they think that, you know, we got to get away from cars, vehicles, you know, single family vehicles or single person vehicles, whatever they call
them,
altogether. No one should be able to have that kind of mobility, Mike, because, damn it, we might start to talk and get to know each other. Right?
Yeah.
This is insane. What's happening? I'm almost at the point now where I'm just going to just tune all this stuff out. Because, you know, like you have said a lot of times, you just get burned out. It's just...
Yeah.
What? Can it get worse? Like Joe Biden?
Yeah, unfortunately, it can, and it will.
Yeah, and you said that months ago. Like when Joe Biden's approval rating dipped below 45, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps getting worse. What's Joe Biden at now?
Lowest rating of any president, lowest quarterly approval of any president since they started keeping records.
Yeah, in history. But I don't even, what is that number? Is it 28%?
That's one of the numbers I've heard.
Ah, yeah, so okay. Then I'm not insane. Yeah.
And I'm not even sure that number is accurate. That's implying that almost, you know, one out of every four Americans think Biden's doing a good job. And I certainly around here, I don't see that.
No, okay, so that's not bad. Whew, at least I'm not, unless, you know what, Mike? See what's going on with what's his name? InfoWars guy.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, that's it. Alex Jones, yeah. So he admitted that Sandy Hook was real?
Well, he was forced to recant, you know, the way Galileo was forced to recant that the Earth moved around the sun. And it just came on in. Alex Jones has been... ordered to pay $4 million to the Sandy Hook families that he supposedly defamed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. There's a reason why trust in the government and media is at an all-time low.
Yes, they deserve
it. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Thank you very much, Mike, for your time. You have a good one.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to go to Dave in New York. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Have you heard about the monkeypox tabletop exercise?
No, I have not.
It was posted up on Rents.com. I told some other folks here. Let me just get the title of it. And it was, I think, at the University of Virginia. I can't hear you right now while I'm looking, so I'm just going to... Well, this the title of it is Strengthening Global Systems to Prevent and Respond to High Consequence Biological Threats. On page 10, it has various scenarios that there's an outbreak in May 15, 2022, 14, 21 cases, 4 deaths. Scenario 2, 83 countries affected, 70 million cases, 1.3 million deaths. National responses, effects of early action, monkeypox engineered to be vaccine resistant. May 10, 2023. Revelation of terror.
There was a story yesterday where they said
infiltration of civilian biolab.
Yeah.
How's that sound to you?
Well, like I said, there was a story that came out yesterday where they were already warning that monkeypox is going to be vaccine resistant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this boy, it's following this scenario, planning scenario, very well.
Yeah, it is.
And that makes me wonder whether this is actually going to be a big thing. Everybody thinks it's monkey around joke, but I'm not sure. Why would they do a scenario and then follow the scenario like they did last time? So,
well, you know, it's part of the depopulation or part of forcing us all to use mail-in ballots here. I mean, it's just come on out that they've got confirmed monkeypox cases right here in Indiana. I think they're saying there's something like 6,000 known cases in the United States right now.
Yeah, well, Erica Kahn on Rents also mentioned that she thought there were inserts in this. I haven't seen the article, so that it would be engineered. And it's more genitally located, and it is mutating, apparently, rather than on the skin. So there's something different about it. I want to ask you... you know, you've gone over a lot of information and been looking at things for a while. How many people do you think died from COVID itself?
COVID? It's hard to say. The numbers have been all over the place. And, you know, people, you know, they were admittedly inflating the numbers early on. So I haven't seen any numbers I'm willing to trust.
Yeah, okay. Well, how many people do you think died from the vaccines?
That's a large number. And again, they're trying to hide that with all this nonsense about sudden adult death syndrome and the rest of it. You know, a big problem is we're not able to get accurate information on any of these issues. You know, we're just being fed. We're being mushroomed. You know, we're being kept in the dark and fed on poo, you know, to get us to be obedient little mushrooms.
Well, let me ask you one other question. How many people do you personally know that you believe were vaccine injured or killed by it that you have heard from talking to the people you know? Maybe you don't have time to talk
to
anybody.
Well, like I said, my doctor got the COVID vaccine and immediately came down with COVID. And, you know, I'm one of the vaccine injured people walking around this country. And I think probably there's a lot more vaccine injured people than... even they realize because of that document that came out from that Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the FDA, where in the first document dump, there was a document from Pfizer that listed something like 2,000 medical conditions that Pfizer thought were after effects of their products. And so, they come up with a fancy name for it, you know, and say, well, we don't know what causes it, but we have a pill to sell you to deal with the symptoms.
Yeah, well, Mike, I mentioned last week or so about the electron micrograph, high-resolution electron micrographs of samples taken from infected people. Presumably, these are showing particles of SARS-CoV-2 virus. I don't know if you able to look at those very much, but I'm wondering if you could take a look at some of that type of information and give a little report here, because, you know, you have a mind and you can think about these things. Whether you think there is good evidence that this this virus exists, I think this this really is stunning information in terms of showing that it's strong confirmation.
It is.
To me. And if you could reiterate that a little, because there were folks on a show last night, and Paul goes and says, he says, listen, no, there's no images of this. There's only these computer model images. And they're talking all about Cowan and Kaufman and all these, you know, just a few people who are not, you know, they're not covering the whole field, and they're claiming that no virus has ever been isolated. And this is nonsense, because we have the electron micrographs showing something there. And if they want to say it's exosomes, I will give them a little lesson, and I could inform you about why these are most likely not exosomes. And I think that we could get some more qualified people than me, like Mikovits or et cetera, to explain what they're seeing in those photos. But if we don't shut this stuff down, I think it's ridiculous to be putting all these ideas out on the network that are unsubstantiated, and the vast information indicates it's false. So why are we even letting this come across the network? But, you know, but at least maybe you can give your opinion and look into it, and I think it would be very useful for people to have a little more information than just what Cowan is.
Well, it's very hard finding accurate information because everybody's lying on both sides right now.
Take a look at the publications. Google electron micro. There's all kinds of publications on this. I did send you an email. I can resend it if you'd like.
Yeah, please resend it. I must have missed it. I mean, I get hundreds of emails every single day.
I understand, obviously. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, okay. Thanks an awful lot. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Steve in New York City. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. How's everything? Long-time listener. And so I met Bobby Fischer a long time ago when I was a child.
Okay.
And I used to play chess in the game, and Bobby Fischer, you know, is just right spot on his opinion about the Jewish problem.
Yeah, and he paid the price for that too.
Yes, they apparently the New Order punished him. So he was like, he said all the governments in the world is a plaything for the Jews. The Jews control the governments in the world, and diverting everybody, and stealing from everybody, and this is actually a problem. The Jewish people are a serious problem in the world. They're all different. It seems like that they lost some power because they went through, they leaped them through a humiliation ritual of Epstein, Weinstein, the Bernie Madoff ritual, humiliation ritual to humiliate the population. But I think it could be a... They want to start World War III. I brought up your screener. They want to start World War III, and North Korea threatened South Korea. China launched rockets over Taiwan, and
yeah.
Russia went crazy. May actually threaten to nuke the United States for real. I'm not making it up. Putin may go nuts, and may actually just make a threat of a thermonuclear strike on North America.
I'm not sure that story. I think that story was more propaganda because Putin, he's too much a statesman to make a threat like that, because he knows it's only going to fuel the fear in this country that our government is exploiting to try and build support for a new war.
Right, but he shut down a Jewish agency. And so Jews, you know, have right to return. Palestinians don't have right to return, but Jews have right to return to Palestine. And this is crazy. They have right to return. The Jews are bringing, you know, immigrants, all these Rokans. You have a right to say to Jews, you have a right to return. If you're Jewish, you go to Israel, anywhere in the world.
Okay.
You don't have right to return to Palestine living in Detroit. I mean, this is crazy. So, I mean, this is insanity. I mean, this is a Jewish supremacy. There's charities in Israel. They actually advertise in Jewish newspapers. I used to get Jewish newspapers delivered to my house. They advertise women, pay women to keep the baby and not have an abortion. They pay Jewish women in Israel not to have an abortion to keep the baby. But Jewish activists in white majority
countries. Well, you know,
they're
Israel is concerned about a demographic crisis because the Palestinians are growing in population faster than the Jewish population. Anyway, Steve, we're getting close to the end of the program here. I got a bunch of calls to get to. We're going to skip our last commercial break, and we're going to go to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, yes, Mike, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Yeah, good day, Mike. Here's what's on my mind real quickly today. I know you had a call, but here's what's on my mind. First off, Bobby Fischer, yeah, I think he's buried in Iceland. He wasn't even buried in the United States. He was buried in Iceland, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember. I think he was born in Iceland or Greenland. I can't remember. He's born in, I think it was Iceland. I can't remember. Anyway, Mike, Peter's call yesterday, I had to listen in, and I listened to our archive, and yeah, Pete made a great call, and he's right on. A lot of cities, these cities are all blue cities, are gone nuts. It's insanity, Mike.
Yeah.
What's going on in our country, but yeah, Peter hit it right on the head. Now, here's the other thing here, Mike. Let's talk about China. I want to talk about Pig Pelosi. Husband is trying to get off of his DUI. How much money they spent. Somebody brought on your show yesterday or the other day before about all the spies, some of these Congress people, Chinese spies they have working like Swalwell and all these other creeps have these Chinese spies working in their offices in Washington, which is absurd. Then you had the other one working for Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz over here back in 2016. Remember that case? But hey, Mike, here's what I don't know if you heard about this. Did you hear about the news again today about Chinese got surrounded Taiwan went out with missiles? You're launching missiles, and one landed close to Japan.
They launched missiles over Taiwan into Japan's economic exclusion zone, and they're clearly sending a message. And China has declared these military zones that are basically on all sides of Taiwan, where they're going to be carrying out what are described as military exercises.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to let you in on something then, Mike. I'm going to tell you something that's very important to everybody in your audience. If the United States of America ever dropped an atomic bomb, a neutron bomb, on the Yangtze River in China, you'd probably kill everybody in the world because of the filth and disease of that river. If you dropped your finger in that river and you had a teeny cup, Mike, you know you'd be dead within 24 hours?
I know. It's very, very heavily polluted. And I don't know that a neutron bomb might actually sterilize it, and render it safe. But I think you mean a more conventional nuclear weapon that would just spread it up into the atmosphere. And, it would be unpleasant. There's no question about that.
I believe it would kill everybody in China if you dropped four or five Moab bombs right on the Yangtze River, Mike, and all that water went up in the air. I guarantee you, multiple millions of Chinese will die from the filth of that river. The water alone would kill millions of people, the stench, the filth of that river. I mean, they say it's 10 times more filthier than the Mississippi River, Mike. 10 times. That's insanity.
Well, I worked on the Mississippi a while back. I know how bad that is.
Well, the Yangtze River is way worse, they say, 10 times.
Yep.
And that right there is and I believe the Chinese are trying to move out, Mike, of their landmass because they need water. Because there's 1.5 billion people there, and a lot of those people have to have water to drink. Now, if you don't have clean drinking water, man, you will fight another country to take their water supply.
That's why Israel keeps trying to get that Litani River in Lebanon.
Right, exactly. It's all about the water, Mike. Look what's going on, like Peter said, in California. Yeah, and Mike, in some areas of California, people will will guard their wells with double-barrel shotguns. I mean,
And, now, of course, California is going to tax those wells, saying that basically you don't own that water, we do. Anyway, Tom, we're getting close to the end of the show. I want to get to some other phone calls. Thank you very much, and we're going to go to Bob in North Carolina. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Did you know 77% of Americans have either a 401k, 403b, or an IRA?
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
Okay, so I will listen to you many times, and I like you. You're good. I appreciate you. You're a patriot. But here's the thing. You always talk down America. You talk down the stock market. You always put the negative news out. Last Thursday, the NASDAQ was up 4%. Yesterday, it was up 2.5%. Since June 17th, the NASDAQ's up almost 15%. The S&P 500 is up 11.5%, 12%. Now, I'm expecting it to roll over tomorrow or Monday. But the thing is, we can't just put it down all the time. And these are the opportunities for many people to create wealth. So we have to run along the big dogs. That's just unfortunately the way it is. There's $2 trillion in federal pensions, $4.2 billion in U.S. federal retirement, $9.5 billion in local and state retirement funds. So there's a whole lot of people out there. The benefit of them having a strong stock market, and I get it, the economy is not the stock market. There's a definite bifurcation. I get that. But what I'm saying is most of the people probably listening to your station, I know a couple of guys who are talk show hosts said they have no retirement account. They're watching everyone else's lane except themselves. We need to focus on helping ourselves instead of worrying about all this other trouble. Now, on the January 6th thing, I told everybody, don't go there. They hate you. They don't care what you have to say. You cannot petition your government. And so what happened? We all got fooled by the CIA Mockingbird media. And so every Republican turned on the Republican Party, and they thought the constituents of Trump. But every one of them turned on Americans who were there. Okay? And this is what happened.
I don't know that every one of them did. I mean, this thing was a staged operation, and I think most Americans understand that. That's why Liz Cheney is in such serious trouble with her January 6th commission, and she's likely to lose her next election. Anyway,
absolutely.
Bob.
Absolutely, but they did it. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bob, sorry, I'm running out of time here. I want to get one more phone call in before the end of the show. Rick in Arizona. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
That'll be real quick. January 6th was nothing more than a photo op for the ADL and the stock market. That's a 401k Ponzi scheme. And then Paul and Red Pelham had a show right after yours. They're talking about, you know, isolating the virus. But there's one thing about it is whatever you want to call it, there are people getting the same common symptoms. And 10 days later, you got to go to the ER. And they fix you up, they send you home, and two more days later, you got to go back, and they put you in the hospital because you need oxygen. These symptoms are common amongst many people that I've talked to, so I don't know what you want to argue about, whether it's a virus or not a virus. It's something out there.
There is something there. There's no question there is something there.
Yeah. Something there that connects to certain genetic structures, and it reacts. You know, because certain people, if you are positive, and it never affects them at all, doesn't bother them at all. And so it's a very peculiar thing. I think it's man-made in a petri dish, and I don't think the Chinese did it. So thanks for taking the call.
Well, you've got it. And apparently the Congressional Committee looking into the origins of COVID have been told they're not cleared for the information on the gain of function research. Anyway, we are at the end of the show. Please stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Jerry Kirk is taking the microphone tonight. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please continue to donate. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday. So, aloha, America.
Are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.